this short time together, I have a burning desire tonight to leave with you a clear word from the Lord, and I hope to spark within our hearts a firm resolution to be faithful until the end. I want to start the message tonight. I want to start with our theme song. Again, I really have come to appreciate our theme song, number 396. Tonight's message, we want to think about. We want to think about heaven a little bit tonight in our message tonight. I don't know how you find it in your life, but the older I get, the more friends I have over in glory, and the more often I think about the life hereafter, the more often I find myself pondering what it will be like that day when God calls me home to be with Him. Whether it be individually or whether it be that our Lord would come in the clouds with the shout of an angel and gather His children home. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine was sitting by the bedside of his aged father, and his father was on his deathbed, was there, and he was he had dementia pretty bad. And his consciousness and his clarity of thought and mind would kind of come and go. His father's mind would come and go. And he was sitting there by the bedside of his dad. And his dad all of a sudden opened his eyes up. And he looked up in the face of his son. And he said, "Son, this time I'm going to die, right?" And his son looked down and said, "Yes, Dad, this time you're going to die." But he said, "You're going to get to go see Mother again." And his dad looked up at him and smiled, and he said, "I'm going to see my Lord Jesus. I'm waiting for that day. I'm going to see my Lord Jesus." Tonight I'd like to remind ourselves that this life that we enjoy and experience will not always be. Time does not always, will not always continue. And I think that we understand that, but it's good for us to stop and consider that at times. That time has a way of going forward, and it begins in our minds. We begin to expect that tomorrow will be the same, and the next day, and the next. But friends, tonight, time will not always continue. We do not have a promise of tomorrow. Turn with me to John chapter 14. I'd like to read a couple verses here in John chapter 14 tonight. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1 of John chapter 14, Jesus is writing, and I love to think about the context when I read Jesus writing. We remember that John chapter 12, I believe it is, happens about a week before Jesus' death. And when we come up to John chapter 14, we're in that last week. And I forget exactly which day we're at. I'm thinking it's about maybe Wednesday or Thursday of the week. When we come to John chapter 13, and Jesus is faced with the reality that very shortly, He's going to go to the cross. He's faced with the reality that He's going to give His life. And the pressures and the responsibility and the culmination of all the purpose of time from the beginning of creation until this point is weighing on Him. And yet He says to His disciples, He thinks about His disciples here, and He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And we remember the story how Jesus goes on and He talks to the disciples there. But He says there in verse 13, "That where I am, there you may be also." And tonight, what a precious promise that we have. That where our Lord is at, over there in glory, you and I can be there also. You and I can be there also. The Bible is full of promises that Jesus will one day return. And tonight I want to just think about this reality. As we read through the Gospels and we read the stories time and time again, Jesus gives an account and he'll talk about a king that was gone and he comes back home and there's a day of reckoning. He talks about a man that's traveling. He talks about giving talents and then he comes back home. And time again, as Jesus was walking on this earth, he was telling his disciples clearly, one day I'm going to come again. I want you to be ready. Sometimes we read through those Gospels and we read those accounts. And somehow or another in our unconverted state, we can feel like Jesus is trying to hold something over top of us to twist our arm a little bit just to get us to make a decision. But I tell you tonight, that's not the way it is. Jesus wants to have each one of us with him in glory. And he time and time again, the reason he time and time again shares this message with us is because he loves us and he wants us to get the point and he wants to have us to have it firmly fixed in our mind. Life is short and one day it will come to an end, and I want you to be ready. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to start reading at verse 1. We could have went into chapter 4 and it talks about the blessing of those that are here when Jesus comes again. And wherefore, comfort one another with these words is the last word in chapter 4. He says there in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then we go on to chapter 5. But of the times and the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety. Have we heard that? Peace and safety. Where is the promise of his coming? It's been over 2,000 years. Peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to just say that verse 9 means that God hath not created us to perish. God created us with a desire to save our souls and spend eternity with, so that we could spend eternity with him. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. I want to present a simple gospel message tonight. I want to present to you the gospel message in a nutshell tonight. And I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit speaks to me, because he changed my message after the noon meal today. And And so I just ask you to pray for me as I deliver the message tonight, because I don't have much on my notes. But I'd like to present to you a simple gospel message tonight. I'd like us to say together John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Sometime around 2,000 years ago, we know the story of the Gospels. We pick up the Gospel and we read through the Gospels in the New Testament. We can go to Luke, we could go to John tonight, but we know the story, the account, how God sent his Son Jesus into this world, and how Jesus came to this earth, and he was born of a Virgin Mary, and he came and he walked the hills of Judea. Jesus came as a babe and was born in the manger. And he came as both fully God and fully man. And he came and he walked on this earth. And he lived his life here on this earth. We read through the Gospels there and we notice how that Jesus went at the age of 12 into the temple there with his parents. He went to Jerusalem and his parents left him there, and they found him 3 days later there in the temple. And he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And we see Jesus as he's here on this earth. He grew in stature as a human individual, and he grew in favor with both God and man. He walked on this earth. We see Jesus coming on the scene at about the age of 30. And his life that he lived here on this earth was the living Word of God, God in the flesh. And Jesus came and he showed to us, he showed to humanity what God's plan was for their life, how we should live, how we should walk. And we can go through the Gospels and we can read the stories and the accounts where Jesus taught us how we should live. We all know the story. We could turn back into John. How Jesus one day made a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. One day he came and he rode that donkey. He rode that colt that had never been rode. And he rode that donkey into Jerusalem. And those children and those people came out. And they cast down their coats and the branches from the trees. And they littered them on the street. And they cried, "Hosanna to the King of Kings." We read about that, I believe, in John chapter 12. And we go on through those next chapters there. And we see Jesus coming there to Jerusalem, leading up towards the crucifixion. And he's helping his disciples understand that this weekend is going to be a significant time. God is going to allow, he's going to pull back that power, that power that kept the forces of evil from taking his life. We follow Jesus there into the garden on Thursday night. And he goes into the garden with his disciples. Judas had gone out. Judas had went to betray his Lord. And Jesus took his disciples and they walked along that pathway from the upper room. And they walked down along that pathway. And partway along that pathway, they stopped in the middle of the path. And he looked up into heaven, and we have Jesus' high priestly prayer. Jesus cried out to God, "God, keep my disciples. This is going to be a hard time for them. And I want you to keep them. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you'd keep them in the world." And he walked on along that pathway across the little brook of Kedron, and into the Garden of Gethsemane. We remember Jesus and his disciples as they walked into the garden. And he left most of them there, but he took his closest friends, and they went a little bit farther on into the garden. And Jesus got down, and he prayed, and he said, "Oh, Father, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he went on a little bit farther, and he stopped and he prayed that again. We remember the scene of Jesus as he's in the garden and he comes back with his disciples. And we remember how the band of the Jews came with their lanterns and with torches, and they came to capture Jesus. We remember how they took him down there, and he was and they took him to be judged, and he went to the high priest's house. We remember how he was mocked. We'll just sort of skip through part of that. Just to give an overview of that, he was mocked, he was scourged, he was beaten with whips, his back was bruised and bleeding. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. Follow with us as we travel from Pilate's hall out onto the hillside. And he went out there, and they took our Lord, and they drove nails in his hands and in his feet. They nailed him to the cross. And they took that rough cross and they placed it in the, dropped it into its hole there for it to stand. They placed Jesus hanging on the cross in excruciating pain and humility between two thieves. There was a crowd that gathered there on the hillside that day. And they were watching Jesus on the cross. And they began to cast it into his face. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself." And our Lord was there, and he had all the power, all of heaven at attention. He could have called for 12 legions of angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he looked down through the corridors of time and he saw you and he saw me. And he knew that there was only one way that salvation could be brought to mankind, and it had to be through the sinless blood, the sacrifice of God's Son. And he was willing to suffer and to die for you and I, because he loved us so. We remember how he was there hanging on the cross. The sky went dark. And he was there hanging on the cross. And he cried out, "It is finished." And it said he gave up the ghost. He laid down his life. Was willing to die, gave up the ghost, laid down his life. A little while later, the soldiers came through because they were going to break the legs of those men on the cross so that they could no longer hold themselves to keep from suffocating. And when they came along and break the legs of the thief beside Jesus, when they came to Jesus, they realized that he had already died. And the scripture said that they took forth a spear, and with that spear pierced the side of Jesus, and forthwith flowed blood and water. And John says that he saw it happen. And he said, "I know that my witness is true." And friends, tonight, that blood of Jesus that was spilled on that cross has the power to save you and I from sin. That blood that was shed on Calvary is our only hope tonight to stand clean before an almighty God. Faith in that blood can wash away our sins. Faith in that blood can cleanse us and free us from the bondage of sin and give us victory through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Tonight, Jesus longs to cleanse your heart. The Bible says that when Jesus does a work in our heart, he doesn't just cover our sins, but he washes away our sins. The psalmist said, as he looked forward, as he thought about Calvary, he said that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The blood of Jesus washes us clean. Our sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west. I know we could only skim the surface tonight, but I'd like to turn now to the book of Jude. As I thought about the work of Christ, I thought about our lives today. And I thought about Calvary. What is it all about? I thought about the book of Jude. We could read a number of verses here, but I'm just going to touch on couple verses that we use so often in our prayers at the end of Jude here. He says in verse 24 of Jude, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen." I titled the message tonight, "Faultless in the Presence of God." Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. 6 months ago, maybe 7 months ago, I had the privilege. I shouldn't say I had the privilege. This verse was made really clear in my mind. I had a picture that got a hold of my attention and helped me understand a little bit about what Jude is saying here in these verses here. Present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. My oldest niece, Wanda, and her husband, Tristan, had a little boy. He was 2 weeks old and he got attacked by a virus. And that little healthy baby went in about 4 days' time from being pretty healthy to losing its life. And I had the privilege of preaching the funeral sermon there for that little child in the casket. And at that viewing, there was pictures like we often do. And there was a picture of my niece Wanda's husband, Tristan, in the hospital with his little boy. And we all know how it is as dads when we come to church the first time and it's our firstborn son. If you've had a son, you know, I think you can feel in your heart how this feels. It's our firstborn son and he's perfect. He's precious. He means an awful lot to us. We're really proud of him. That's a picture of Jesus. Notice what it says here in Jude chapter 20. I thought about it when I looked on that poster board and I saw Tristan holding his little son. And he was looking down and he had those eyes of love and the proud daddy look on his face as he looked into the eyes of his son. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless," perfect, faultless, "before the presence of his glory," whose glory? "Before the presence of the Almighty God," I see Jesus Christ. And as a saint goes home to his eternal reward, and Jesus takes that saint, and as it were that little child in his arms, and he presents him before the Father, faultless, with exceeding joy.
and says, Father, this is my son. I went to the cross. I died for my son. And he's faultless before you. Faultless in the presence of God.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. I want to think just a little bit yet tonight. So I thought about our lives tonight. Will Jesus come in the clouds for all of us? Could it be that tonight, that as we leave this place, that the sky will light up? Could it be that Jesus would stand on the horizon and we would see him there coming through the clouds? Are we ready? I thought about our song, the song that you have in your folders, number 11. I'd like to sing that song at this time. Maybe I could use this one. The last verse says, and sometimes I fear how great the unknown of everything ceasing. That's real. That's real. We think about life as we know it. We think about how it's continued on and we're familiar with it. And there's something about the reality that one day it will stop. And the finality. But friends, tonight, if it's our Lord Jesus whom we're meeting, if it is Jesus Christ who, and if he is Lord of our life tonight, then it will be like a father returning. You know, tomorrow, I'm hoping to be home. I got some boys that mean a lot to me. And I hope they're just as excited about seeing their dad as I am about seeing them. What about our Lord? What about our Lord? So tonight I want to share with you all. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And tonight, if you're here and you're not ready to meet him, if tonight the thought of Jesus Christ coming through the clouds brings terror to your heart, you need to get right with the Lord. Today is the day of opportunity. We've come through a week of revivals. We've talked about different things. But if we don't have Jesus in our hearts, we've missed it. Jesus wants to present us faultless before the presence of the glory of Almighty God. You know, John went, as John stood before the glory of Almighty God, he fell on his face. He fell on his face before Almighty God. And I believe there's a reality that when we see the glories of heaven and we see God, there's going to be an awe, there's going to be a reverence, there's going to be a side of us that has a tremendous respect. But it seems to me, according to the book of Jude, that he'll present us faultless with exceeding joy. And we can stand in the presence of a holy, holy God because of the blood of Jesus on our lives. And so tonight, I want to leave that challenge with each one of you. God bless you. Keep walking the walk. Let's be faithful so that whether he comes through the clouds and takes us all home together, or whether he calls us one by one, that we can experience eternity forever with Jesus Christ. May God bless you tonight.